Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for Triad Today, a weekly community affairs program on 98.7 Simon. I'm Charlie, your host. There's not much more exciting than a pregnancy announcement and the arrival of a healthy new baby. But for many families, the path to welcoming a new life into the world can be laden with unexpected difficulties. Pregnancy complications, premature birth, and other health conditions can make one of the most magical times in a mother's life full of stress. The March of Dimes leads the fight for the health of all moms and their babies with research, community programs, health education, and advocacy, working to reduce the risk of pregnancy complications for all moms and babies, regardless of age, race, or socioeconomic status. This morning, I'm joined by Dr. Alyssa Starbuck, the Vice President of Women's and Children's Health Services and President of Brenner Children's Hospital. Dr. Starbuck serves on the State Board of Directors for the March of Dimes. Good morning, Dr. Starbuck.
Good morning, Charlie. Thank you so much for this opportunity today to share some of this information with folks.
Dr. Starbuck, can you give us a little bit of background on the March of Dimes and the mission of the organization?
Absolutely. Happy to. The March of Dimes is a relatively old organization. It's been around for 80 years. Was created right at the cusp of World War II with Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Many of you may remember reading about him with his longstanding effects of polio. So that was one of the first originations of the March of Dimes, was looking at the polio vaccine. Moved forward through the rest of the decades, doing research, prematurity research, also healthy babies, folic acid, newborn screens, and also surfactant, which is very, very important to our babies who are born prematurely. And most recently has really revolved the focus around healthy moms, healthy babies, and what can we do to ensure that, understanding that we do have disparities across race, and there are certainly places that have maternity deserts, and that's places where patients cannot access prenatal care or even for their own health care. So certainly we have begun to look at that on a broader scale, and how can we impact that with policies, programs, and all the things that would make this more accessible for folks.
And how did you get involved with the organization?
Yeah, great question. So I'm a nurse by background and a nurse practitioner for many, many years in the neonatal ICU. So my entire career from a clinical standpoint has been devoted to taking care of premature babies or babies born with complications who needed to be hospitalized afterwards. So I became involved. I really can't remember the year. I tried to figure that out, but I think it's probably been for over 20 plus years of my career. Certainly something near and dear to my heart from a professional standpoint. I also personally had a daughter who was premature as well. Not extremely premature, but premature enough to be effective to her and my family. So it is definitely a passion for me and something I have long been committed to.
As I mentioned in the intro, pregnancy and the arrival of a new baby are such exciting times for so many women. And of course, we hear all about when a healthy baby arrives. Is pregnancy without any complications as easy and common as it seems?
Yeah, easy and common for pregnancy. Those are words that are interesting. I doubt anyone who has ever been pregnant, whether they had a term newborn or a preterm baby, felt like that was an easy path. We know that about 1 in 10 babies are born prematurely. So at least that percentage of the time, parents will not have a healthy baby. We hear about the healthy baby and we expect a healthy baby because that's what our societal mental model is. If you think about the babies on the diaper commercials and the baby food commercials, that is everyone's expectation. But unfortunately, now, not only prematurity, but the general health of our mothers who are becoming pregnant, it is not what it once was. All of the diseases and chronic conditions that really affect our entire population are now affecting mothers. And that only further complicates their pregnancy.
Yeah, through social media and like you said, through commercials and everything else, it makes it look like, oh, you just get pregnant and then you have a baby and it's great and it's healthy and la, 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 and you move on that way. We don't talk enough about miscarriages and pregnancy complications. How can we change that?
Yeah, what an excellent question, excellent point. We know that 1 in 3 pregnancies end in miscarriage. As technology and access to pregnancy tests have certainly, they're at everybody's fingertips. People know almost immediately when they're pregnant. You know, historically, they waited several weeks to have that confirmed by a physician. So people do experience that loss. And the likelihood that you know someone or someone in your family has been affected by this and not shared that is pretty common. It is a loss and it is a grief process that people carry with them for the rest of their lives. So being able to share that and work through that like any loss is important. And as people cannot ignore that once pregnant and accepted, people did conceive that they were going to have a child, regardless of when that pregnancy terminated. So I think just accepting that and being willing to open up and listen to people and just ask the question, give them opportunities to talk about it, because it has been kind of put out of sight, out of mind for a long time.
I have learned, you know, as an adult that many more women have experienced at least one miscarriage, if not multiple. And you don't really know that when you're younger. You don't think that it's as common, but it happens. It seems like it happens to almost everyone.
Yeah, I would agree. It is more common than not, especially if you have had the desire to have children and may have lost or miscarried. It's almost infrequent that I would have a conversation with anyone, either professionally or personally. They would say, I have 2 children, but I also lost a child in between the two. Or I lost 2 before my first child was born. So you're right. It is very common. And once the doors open, people are willing to share and they realize that you'll accept and hear that too as a loss. I think sometimes if you don't see the physical effects of pregnancy or the baby has not been born, it doesn't seem like it should be a loss for people, but it is an incredible loss.
Mm-hmm. I'm speaking with Dr. Alyssa Starbuck of Brenner Children's Hospital and the March of Dimes. Dr. Starbuck, how important is taking care of yourself and knowing your health history before you get pregnant?
Yeah, ideally, you know, everybody would plan to become pregnant in a ideal world, but that's really not what happens. So if you have that desire or you're in that window, having the best health that you can have certainly sets you up for a successful pregnancy as much as possible. All the things that affect the mother will likely have some effect on the baby. So if there's chronic illnesses in terms of hypertension, diabetes, obesity, all of those things stress us as individuals. And when we become pregnant, it only exacerbates that. So getting those chronic conditions into control. Also, we learned many, many years ago that the importance of folic acid. Recommended now to take that several months before you desire to be pregnant, but absolutely as soon as you know. But any way that you can set yourself up to be as healthy as possible before, or at least when you know you're pregnant. So healthy moms, healthy babies may sound like that's something we just say, but it really is true. So if we can get mom in the best possible physical condition before, the likelihood of the pregnancy turning out well increases.
What kind of risks can we introduce to our pregnancy by not taking care of our own health?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about those, but anything that stresses the mom is going to stress the baby. So there are things certainly that we have chronic medical conditions, perhaps by our own DNA and hereditary, that we have just been gifted. There are also things that we can do, like avoiding alcohol consumption and illicit drugs, anything of that nature. You just want to make it as possible as we can for a great outcome for that baby, and just understanding that everything that affects mom will affect baby.
You hear stories like kind of back in the olden days before we had today's medical advances and stuff, you'd hear about mothers suffering complications from childbirth. You don't hear about that as often, but are there still risks to the mother today?
Yeah, there are still risks. And you're right. The olden days, I can remember, we heard about people dying in childbirth. Oftentimes that was because cesarean sections were not identified, or a lot of people delivered at home. The doctor or the midwife would actually travel to the home. And by that time, complications may not have even been perceived. But today, I think, we've been able to go forward a little bit with that. And there's still risk. I mean, we have 700 mothers a year dying from complications of pregnancy or childbirth. Now, those may not be the same as they were 50, 60, 70 years ago, but it's still in that window. And we classify maternal mortality as death up to 6 weeks after. A lot of these now are cardiovascular in nature, or clots, all of those things. And that's what we see more now, whereas previously it was just probably lack of prenatal care and the ability to identify the potential risk and complications of the outcome.
The March of Dimes does a statewide report card that measures different factors in relation to healthy births. North Carolina received a D. What does this mean for our state, and what are some things we need to be doing differently?
Yeah, I mean, no one wants a D. But when we look across the country, March of Dimes gives the ratings A through F, and we got a D. So we're just right above the worst possible place. If we look across the country, there's only one state that got an A, and that's Vermont. What are they doing differently that we are? That's what we need to look at and model after. There are some things that we can certainly work toward. Although the prematurity rate stayed steady in North Carolina, our infant mortality rate, which is directly related to the health of our mothers, was up above the national average. So some of the things that we can actually do is understanding how we can get care to mothers. And we talked a little bit about that previously, about we have maternity deserts. Just like you hear about food deserts. So there are places where people cannot access a provider. And if you think about there are less and less individuals who are going through medical school that are moving into rural communities. A lot of medicine now, we have switched to telehealth, but there may not be a provider that these patients can access. So just creating ways that we can get the care to these patients, because they may not have the ability to get transportation, to drive an hour or 2 hours to a physician's appointment. So how can we get care to them, and how can we work on that? There's also things that we can do when we have maternal deaths in the state. We have a review committee currently, but we really don't address the causes of maternal death. We look at it and understand it in terms of statistics, but we haven't really progressed further than that. We have a perinatal quality collaborative that does identify quality issues for moms and babies. So that's a good, that's about the only check mark we get in terms of policy in North Carolina. When I talked a little bit, I'll go back to the access part. Midwives, or advanced practice nurses who were trained as midwives, can't really practice easily in North Carolina. So having them freeing up that a little bit of ability for them to be able to practice without on-site or strict supervision from a physician would enable some access and care for these mothers. And we hear about Medicaid expansion. That's important, and moms are currently covered up to 60 days after. And remember, I said maternal deaths up to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. So we barely just covered the mom's care past the point of the mortality definition. So if we could increase that to a year, then we would have the ability to follow those moms and those babies. And most of the infant mortality is really around prematurity. So even if the infant survives the hospitalization within the first year, most infant mortality is probably around prematurity. So those are things that we really need to be able to get in place in the state. We have a social vulnerability index that tells us where the high risk areas are, and getting that in place for these folks would definitely make an impact. But if you're choosing between getting transportation to a doctor's appointment and putting food on your table, most people are not going to choose to go to a physician's appointment. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of work to do. There's no doubt about that. And we do know that prematurity, again, stayed steady and overall nationally dropped a little bit this year. But the interesting thing is we really don't know why. We can hypothesize that perhaps people were at home, they were a little bit healthier, but we don't know that. We don't really know why it did drop.
That is something I wanted to touch on a bit. Maybe it's because we're hearing about it more through social media. We're all up in each other's business a little bit more. But I know quite a few people recently in the few years who have babies who were born prematurely, and it doesn't seem like that used to happen as much. Is there an increase, or does it just seem like that?
Yeah, I think that the numbers will tell us there's not an increase, but at the same time, we haven't done anything to drastically improve it. And over the course of my 35-year career, we haven't really made an impact on it. And the majority of what we define as premature babies are born in that 34 to 37 weeks. So every week of pregnancy is important. Every hour we can keep that baby inside mom only benefits that baby. So that is definitely the goal. But I don't think we really have more, but I do think just our society in general is more willing to share and open. And it's on social media. You know, we have reveal parties. We have, you know, little siblings holding up signs. So I think we know all these things in real time that we probably didn't know before.
What kinds of complications can babies and mothers run into with a premature birth?
Yeah, well, you know, the problems run from physical to mental health, right? So physically, if it depends on why the baby was born prematurely, it certainly could be born prematurely because the mom had severe increase in blood pressure and preeclampsia, that we really just need to deliver the baby for the health of the mom. The baby, long-term, certainly will be watched for the next couple of years to see how development occurs. Some of that can be delayed. We often tell folks that babies born prematurely typically catch up by the time they're 2 years old. But in that course, there's lots of doctor's appointments, lots of follow-up, lots of specialists. So it can really affect either or long-term. And a lot of the children who are born prematurely are certainly followed not only to 2 years old, but through school age. And we've learned from that, and we know that some of those are even more high risk for behavioral challenges later on as well. So it's a long-term gain that we don't have all the answers for, especially for the preterm baby at birth. We tell folks that, you know, as the child develops, we'll watch them and understand whether that development is on track. And problems may or may not be identified along the journey. And that's really what creates a lot of mental stress and a lot of physician follow-up appointments. And thus, if mom is not taking good care of herself, she begins to suffer as well because a lot of focus is on the child.
I think it's important to point out, really important for a baby to go full term. Yes, there are millions of children who were born premature and they've gone on to be live perfectly normal lives. But the risk of the underdeveloped organs and things, it's not worth taking that risk. So it is really important for a baby to go full term. What are some things, is there anything we can do to prevent going into premature labor?
To prevent going into premature labor, there are medications that our providers attempt to prescribe. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. Sometimes mothers are on bed rest. You probably have known people who have been on bed rest to try to decrease that activity. There's really nothing magic that we know that can stop that premature labor. Our best option is to have that mother in the best absolute health before and to make sure that she has access to care. And I think that is really the things that we can do to impact that.
Tell me a bit about the programs the March of Dimes spearheads to work with communities and to fight for families.
Yeah, great question. The March of Dimes just continues to be a leader in this space. There are programs that actually are directly with patients who are pregnant, centering programs across the state. They certainly have done their fair share of trying to help legislation move forward to allow access to be easy for these folks who are in rural areas or maternity deserts. There are also many, many things that we want to push in terms that we talked a little bit about from a policy perspective, and having doulas available for folks who can't afford those during the labor process. Also, the distribution of folic acid to decrease neural tube defects. I mean, that's just a really easy thing to do. But the programs the March of Dimes continues to now push forward is how can we get care for mothers and babies, and how can we enable that through changes in policy and advocacy.
What type of research is funded by the March of Dimes, and how does that help expectant mothers?
Yeah, just to touch on a couple of those, you know, we started with the polio vaccine over 80 years ago, but folic acid certainly was part of the March of Dimes research, and most recently surfactant, which is needed very much for infants who are born premature and now is given right in the delivery room. So all of that came around from the March of Dimes research, and they continue to supply grants to people who were interested in research that will improve the health of moms and babies. So they certainly have continued to be a leader in this space.
November is Prematurity Awareness Month, and the March of Dimes is working hard with advocates, volunteers, and researchers to help end preventable preterm birth and risks to the mother. Are the services provided by the March of Dimes open to anyone?
Yes, absolutely. The whole intent of the March of Dimes in terms of their research, the services, is to be able to help moms be healthier and have healthy babies. That is the overarching mission. So absolutely, they are open, and we really need to target those areas where the services are least available.
Well, how can people find out more and get assistance from the March of Dimes?
Yeah, happy for you to go to the March of Dimes website and look at that. There's lots of information. There's lots of resources, both for patients and providers, that you can access there. Also, advocacy. Reach out to your legislators and help us get some of these policy things move forward. And they love to hear from people who really are passionate and have some personal experience or expertise. They have a lot of decisions to make and a lot of choices on their shoulders. And the more we can get information to them that's accurate and how important this is, that's certainly going to only be helpful to move these agendas forward.
Dr. Starbuck, do you have some final words that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, we're delighted to have November as Prematurity Month, and yesterday was World Prematurity Day. It would be wonderful if we come to a time in our society where we don't have the need for this. We would ask you to support mothers being healthy before they're pregnant, healthy babies, and help us with legislation to move forward so that we can continue to impact, because that's our next generation in society.
Healthy moms and healthy babies are the hope for every family, and the March of Dimes is leading the charge to advocate for education and programs that ensure every family has the best possible start. For more information on how the March of Dimes can help you and your community, visit marchofdimes.org. Dr. Alyssa Starbuck, the Vice President of Women's and Children's Health Services and President of Brenner Children's Hospital and State Board of Directors member for the March of Dimes, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Charlie. I really appreciate the opportunity today.
And if you have any questions about anything you hear on Triad Today, please send an email to charlie@987simon.com. That's C-H-A-R-L-E-Y @987simon.com. You're listening to Triad Today on 98.7 Simon.
T T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.